Well, if Justin Bieber had a tough night at the Grammys, the creative team behind Broadway's Spider-Man has had a tough year. Technical difficulties, actor injuries, and multiple delays of the opening night. Finally, last week, after months of previews, critics gave up waiting and published their reviews, and Spider-Man got panned. We asked NPR's Bob Mondello to check out this work in progress and tell us what patrons are seeing for as much as $275 a seat.
Let's start with something that sort of works. Near the end of the first act, there's a flying sequence that lasts maybe 2 minutes. The Green Goblin, a bad guy, has been hooked into a harness and is swinging over the heads of the folks in the expensive seats. This is not thrilling. In fact, it's getting a little old. Spidey's done it a couple of times to no particular effect. But this time, when Spidey joins the Goblin up there, director Julie Taymor has him do something he has not done before. To surprised woos from the crowd, he lands in a tense crouch in the theater aisle. Spidey has touched down. Now, notice this is not a musical moment created by Bono and the Edge. It has nothing to do with the show's striking but flat set design. It's not even about the aerial work, which for the most part will not make your Spidey sense tingle. What's getting the audience worked up is a performer coming down to earth nearby. It's the thing theater can do that movies can't, put you close to a live actor. And suddenly, you're not thinking about wires and harnesses, but about knee joints and tendons. Flying is mechanical, landing takes skill, and in live theater, when it's happening right next to you, you immediately get the difference. See how the boy falls from the sky. Something else that works best when it's down to earth is the script. Spidey versus Green Goblin? Clear. Spidey crazy for girlfriend Mary Jane? Clear. Spidey's relationship with great-great-great spiritual second cousin Arachne, spider lady creature of Greek myth? Less clear, though you can sort of follow it. I get why Taymor, who is a classical theater buff, wants to bring in something non-comic booky, but she's kind of trying too hard. A geek chorus of four kids second-guessing plot twists? First act playground bullies who morph into a second act military-industrial complex? A weird fixation on bad guy fashions and spider high heels? Throw all that at a web and things are bound to get tangled, even when the lyrics are clear.
You can change your mind, but you cannot change your heart. It's a compass and a map, the key to
lyrics, let's note, are not this show's strong suit. What Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark wants to be is a theme park. Oddly, a $65 million theme park where patrons only get to watch other people ride the rides. Still, I caught the first performance after the critics weighed in, and this is hardly high praise, but the show's not nearly the train wreck I'd expected. I've seen theatrical train wrecks. Annie 2, Home Sweet Homer, the Earth, Wind & Fire musical Hot Feet. This is just a train that takes forever to get out of the station and up to speed. Almost 3 hours? Come on, it's based on a comic book. A child could cut it. Get rid of the third and fourth choruses of every song, since they don't advance lyrically or build to climaxes. When there's a visual effect that works, like a forced perspective building painted on a ramp so Spidey can crawl up it, let us see it once, not 5 times. Yes, it was expensive to build, but each time it pops up, it works less well. Junk the film montage in Act 2, keep the flying, and even keep that gal Arachne, though she probably doesn't need quite so many costume changes. Just get the whole thing down to 85 snappy minutes. It'll still be junk, but it'll be efficient commercial junk, like those $40 t-shirts in the lobby. And if Taymor and company are serious about working to fix it, they've still got lots of time before the opening date she likes better than the one the critics chose, March 15, the Ides of March. Because that worked so well for Caesar. I'm Bob Mondello.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.